Chase McKay, Big Joe Dubin with you on this Wednesday, as we do every week at 9:30. We say hello to the great John McClain, who joins us. SportsRadio610.com is where you can find his work down in Houston. Good morning, John. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
Doing fantastic. I have to feel like it's been a positive few days in Houston after that big win over the Jags.
It was pretty incredible. I picked them to lose by 20. I got the 20-point spread right, just the wrong team, 37-17. They beat them up from the get-go. C.J. Stroud had a great game. His rookie receiver, Tank Dell, a third-round pick, 5'8", 165, had 145 yards catching. That broke Andre Johnson's record for a rookie from 2003. He also has 251, which broke Andre Johnson's record for the first three games of a rookie receiver. So people are fired up. It's J.J. Watt week. Watt's getting inducted into the Ring of Honor with the late owner Bob McNair and Andre Johnson, and people, Steelers are coming to town, and they just hope his little brother TJ doesn't make life too miserable for them on Sunday. But right now, everything is positive about the Texans, not so much the Astros. And I got to tell you guys, because I want your listeners to know about this, and this will be around Super Bowl time, there's a documentary being made here by a crew in which it's about Bum Phillips and the Love You Blue Oilers. And it's called Coach Phillips, Three Generations of Coaching Traditions. It's about Bum, his son Wade, and Bum's grandson Wes, who's the offensive coordinator of the Vikings. And last night we had the final, shot the final scene at a wrap party. There were so many former Oilers there. Even Mean Joe Green came in from Dallas because he kept those Oilers out of the Super Bowl two times. And it was a great celebration. And I've tweeted all kinds of videos and pictures. And then when it comes out around the Super Bowl, I'm assuming there's a lot of your listeners who are interested in the history of this franchise, and that's going to be a great way to check it out.
Yeah, that'll be awesome. I can't wait to see that. But, you know, with C.J. Stroud, as you mentioned, I would say that, you know, three games in, and maybe it's too early, you know, whatever, but he's definitely, I think, the best of the rookies at that position. Do you feel like that because of his play and DeNico Ryan's, you know, are the Texans maybe a little better than we thought they were, even though they only have one win, or was it just a really good week last week?
They've beaten Jacksonville 10 of the last 11 times they've played. They've beaten them six consecutive seasons on the road, one being in London. It's hard to explain. Jaguars supposed to run away with this division. The generational quarterback. And the Texans had eight starters out, one safety, two cornerbacks, four offensive linemen, and then their leading tackler. They were all out, which is one reason I picked them to get blown away. And then they came out, and after Stroud was on a pace to be sacked 93 times after the first two games, 11 sacks, 19 hits. He wasn't sacked against the Jaguars, and he was only hit four times. And I don't know how to explain it, because three of these four starting linemen who shouldn't be starting were third team, and so the backups got hurt. So that's what stunned me. They can't run the ball. Damian Pierce, their second-year running back, leads the league in broken tackles in the backfield, and because he gets hit every time he gets the ball in the backfield. So after the Pittsburgh game, they can get two of their starting linemen back off of short-term injured reserve, and you assume then they'll be able to have a running game. But right now it's all Stroud and their receivers. We thought their receivers were mediocre, and they've had two, Nico Collins going into his third year, who's always flashed but has been hurt too much, and then Tank Dell and Robert Woods. You know, Robert needed that year last year with the Titans, coming off a torn ACL, to maybe adjust subconsciously. He's the go-to receiver on third down, so the receivers have been a surprise. And so I don't know if they can keep it up. I'm going to pick the Steelers to beat them by about 10. But it's fun while it lasted. It's fun for a week. People love DeMeco Ryans, and they believe Stroud has By the way, remember when that S2 cognition test, he scored so low and people said he couldn't process? This is not a good advertisement for that company, which I think is based right there with you guys.
It is.
But he has been tremendous.
We're talking to the legend, John McClain. And, John, now, you know, the NFL you've covered for so long is such a great copycat league. And after the Dolphins dropped 70 on the Broncos last Sunday with Mike McDaniel, you know GMs are searching for the next Mike McDaniel. What is your – I know you covered when he was an offensive assistant with the Texans in 2006, 2008. Do you remember him on that staff? Because, I mean, offensive assistant's not really using the spotlight a lot.
And he was way down. And it's interesting, Gary Kubiak had some great coaches here. Robert Saleh, Matt LaFleur, his first coordinator, Todd Calhoun, left after 1 year, has been the head coach at Air Force. Mike Sherman went up as Packers head coach, went on to Texas A&M head coach. And Kyle Shanahan, of course, and Mike McDaniel kind of latched on to Kyle. Kyle Shanahan saw things in him behind the scenes that others didn't. I always thought Mike was kind of mousy, never interviewed him, never interviewed Robert Saleh, and he was six years here. And it's just because you interview the coordinators and the primary position coaches. But McDaniel, when he's been with Kyle, those two think a lot. Kyle's got a much better personality, a guy who seems comfortable. You know, when Mike McDaniel's talking, he's always looking down, like he's uncomfortable. Now, the stuff that comes out of his mouth is good. Right now, people are calling him an offensive genius. But when you go back to last year at this time, they had the most prolific offense in the NFL, and then Tua got hurt. And you guys know, going back to when Tua was at Alabama, he gets hurt every year. If he can keep it up, he'll be the MVP. He'll get one of those monster contracts after the season, and they're fun to watch. And I tell you what, I like that they did that to Sean Payton after the things that Sean Payton said. He said stuff about Tua last year on Fox that I'm sure was brought up to Tua Tagovailoa last week. And then, of course, he said all those things about Hackett, and he's having the same problems Hackett did with clock management. Now, I'm sure they're going to beat the Bears, but can you imagine if they don't? As far as the Dolphins, they're now going to Buffalo. That'll be a great test. Bills have bounced back. That's the game of the week, and I can't wait.
Absolutely it is. Watching the Eagles on Monday night, and it's unfair to compare any kind of defense to the 85 Chicago Bears, who I think is the best defense ever. But, John, that Eagles defense, my goodness, I mean, they just attack. They have 11 guys attacking you on every single play. If they keep that up, just go ahead and hand them the Super Bowl.
And what's interesting about that defense and their offense, they lost both coordinators. So they've got two new guys running the show, and they haven't skipped a beat. Now, people got all excited about Baker Mayfield and the Bucs going 2-0. I think that's more indicative of what the Buccaneers are, which is just a mediocre team at best. And the Eagles look so dominant. They run the ball so well. I watched it, and I saw the backs, DeAndre Swift, just blowing through these monstrous holes maybe I could have run through. And I'm thinking the Texans running backs see that and think, oh, my God, how nice that would be to have an offensive line like that. So they can run it. They can stop the run. Jalen Carter is the favorite over Will Anderson Jr. to be Defensive Rookie of the Year. And I tell people here on my shows that because Carter plays for an unbeaten team that's a Super Bowl contender and plays in a lot of nationally televised games, and the Texans aren't a contender and have no nationally televised games, they can just go ahead and give that to Carter because he's going to get so much attention unless he gets hurt. And Anderson is third in the league in pressures, and he's played great too, but he doesn't get that kind of attention. And those two tackles, Carter and Davis, my goodness, they remind me of the great Baltimore defenses when they had Tony Siragusa and Sam Adams in the middle, and they just took up so much space, it's almost like those two were a four-man front by themselves.
John McClain is with us and will continue to be with us for another segment. We'll have more with him coming up next here on the Chase and Big Joe Show, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Continuing our conversation with the great John McClain, who joins us every Wednesday at 9:30, sportsradio610.com. That is where you find his work. So, John, you know, the Titans and the Texans are in the same boat. They're both 1-2 to start the season. I feel like down in Houston, there's optimism. You got a young quarterback, new head coach. Everybody knows the process. And here, it's if they win, it's great. If they lose, it's doom and gloom, and everybody needs to get fired, and they need to blow it all up, and Mike Vrabel's on the hot seat. I don't view it that way at all, because I think if they fired Mike Vrabel, he'd get a job in about 5 seconds. But how do you view what he's dealing with, especially with the offensive line and the fact that Ryan Tannehill has absolutely no time to throw?
I think that would be 2 seconds, not 5 seconds, yeah. That he'd get another job. First of all, you know, Titans had high, you know, not Super Bowl expectations, but playing in this division, I'm sure they had expectations of being able to threaten the Jaguars. And the division is certainly winnable. You can't judge a team for the season after 3 games. But if they were to upset the Bengals, who are 1-2, then everybody would be happy. But the problem is, if you got issues up front, it affects everything. It affects the running game, the passing game, the defense. Texans have it right now, even though they didn't have that problem against the Jaguars. But they certainly did in the first 2 games, and they were just praying till their 2 of their starters can come back. And at least they have starters on injured reserve, which the Titans are struggling. And that's what happens when you change an entire, well, all but one position, right, on the offensive line. I tell you what blew me away, and I know it blew you guys away. When I looked and saw the halftime score 13-3, I'm like, oh, yeah, the Titans can come back. And then I looked at the stats. And yeah. I saw Derrick Henry, and what did he have, like -7 yards on 4 carries? Now, I know Jim Schwartz is doing a fabulous job with the Browns defense. They've been stockpiling talent on that defense and offense for years when they've been so bad. And Schwartz, he's come in there, and he's putting it all to use and playing to the strengths. Everybody talking about Micah Parsons being a runaway for Defensive Player of the Year. Then all of a sudden he gets run over by the Cardinals. And I'm thinking, I see what Myles Garrett did, and I'm thinking Myles Garrett is the favorite for that. But we all know if the Titans can't run, they're in big trouble, because the play-action game with Tannehill is what he's always best at. If he doesn't have that play-action game for the linebackers and the safeties and corners to hesitate, then they're dead in the water. And I know Tim Kelly's a good coordinator. I watched him here. You know, it's funny how those coordinators, when they have a good offensive line and a good quarterback, they're good coordinators. When they don't, they're not. And that's just the way the world is. And hopefully they can do something to get the line fixed so it'll fix their offense. But, man, oh, man, Derrick Henry at this point, and I'm sure the Texans would love to play him now, because the times they play in December, they may have all that fixed, and he's certainly not getting used up early.
You're the perfect guy to ask this to, because you mentioned Jim Schwartz. Obviously, we know him well here when he was the defensive coordinator with Jeff Fisher, and then he was back the last couple of years. And he talked about that recently, how Mike Vrabel, you know, gave him an opportunity to come and coach again, and you know, as he was dealing with some health issues. But now that he's back as a defensive coordinator in Cleveland, do you feel like he could get another shot at being a head coach, even though it didn't go so great in Detroit?
I wouldn't rule out anything, because say the Browns play great this year. Now, it's going to be hard, because once the weather turns bad and the wind and the snow and the rain, that's, you know, the reason Deshaun Watson took Cleveland off his list, the first team, was because of the weather. And then they gave him 230 million reasons guaranteed to come play there. And he's not been a top quarterback when he plays in bad weather, especially wind. So he everything was perfect for him to have a great game, and he certainly did against the Titans. Vrabel's seen that when he was here, and then he's seen it when he coached against Watson. So I think that Jim, if that team can keep it up, maybe. But there's so many candidates. You know, they seem to be looking for younger guys. They seem to be looking for offensive-minded guys, although right now, D'Amico Ryans, defensive coordinator, got upset. Jonathan Gannon, Arizona defensive coordinator, got the upset. But owners and GMs now, generally, especially if they have a good young quarterback, they're looking for an offensive background, and that, I think, would work against Schwartz.
talking to the great John McClain. John, we love great stories, success stories, underdog stories. This Joshua Dobbs story is fantastic. Your thoughts on that?
I was stunned. I mean, that was the upset of the week. I thought the Cowboys would blow them off, blow them out. Their fans are bemoaning the fact they're missing two offensive line starters. And I'm thinking, yeah, try four. And then they lost Diggs for the season. One cornerback doesn't mean everything for defense. I thought, well, they got that great pass rush. They're great against the run. And then Dobbs goes in there, and it wasn't just throwing the ball, but it was running. They just humiliated the Cowboys, and I got to admit, I love it when the Cowboys get humiliated. And Dobbs right now, they thought, okay, he and Clayton Toon, the rookie from the University of Houston, they're going to start one of them because they want to tank because they know they're bad and they're going to lose and they want to get Caleb Williams. Well, players don't tank. You know, organizations can tank based on what they put on the field. But if the NFL thought somebody was tanking, they would pay a serious price, and they've been told that. You know, if you're tanking for your number one pick, you might not have that number one pick if the league thinks you're doing that. So Dobbs comes out and plays, I guess, the way a lot of fans at the University of Tennessee thought he was going to play eventually. And it's a great success story. And I'm really happy for the kid because I've always heard great things about him.
Absolutely. Another big story, of course, is the Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift, all that stuff that's going on. Have you ever covered in your long, illustrious career where an athlete's dated a celebrity and it's caused a problem or anything along those lines?
This is one way before I was around. Joe DiMaggio, the greatest player in baseball, married Marilyn Monroe, the most famous actress in the world, and they were in New York. And can you imagine if there was social media? Now, back then, New York had like 18 daily newspapers. That's not counting New Jersey. So it was photographers and it was newspapers. And today, though, because of social media, and because she just seems to be more popular in this year than she ever was before because of her fantastic tour. And I think it's great. I also think that they're always so funny. He got, it's up to 500,000 new followers, and his jersey's catapulted into the top five, and the Swifties are having to learn about football and who the Chiefs are. I think it's a great story. And you hope it lasts, but her relationships have not lasted, and, well, is haven't either. But I think it's tremendous for them if they're happy, great for the NFL, and great for sports.
So we were talking about this earlier, and obviously we've talked about the Taylor Swift aspect, but, you know, the NFL has tried to get a younger audience the last few years. They've done games on Nickelodeon. They're doing the Toy Story game on Disney Plus. What are kind of your thoughts on trying to get the next generation that has so much technology and just stays distracted all the time, trying to draw them into the product?
Well, that's certainly got a lot of attention for people who don't care about football or know anything about football, young people. You know, Swift's popularity transcends young people. There's a lot of older people. I like her music. And it's just amazing how big she's become. So anything, not just young people, but there's a lot of people now are paying attention to the Chiefs. It's like Patrick Mahomes said, I knew she was here. I had to get him the ball in the end zone, and he did, and they're taking advantage of it, and I hope it lasts. And if they go to the Super Bowl, guess who will be the most widely viewed person at the Super Bowl? And it won't be Mahomes or Kelce. It'll be her up in one of those suites.
Well, our biggest takeaway from this interview today is John McClain is a Swiftie. That is huge news that we have to put out there. John,
the one thing I'll be happy with is when people stop writing about it and using words or lines from her song, trying to be clever. If I see another one of those, I'll vomit because there's some I don't know. I know what they're doing, and I don't know what it is. But I'm thinking, you know, cool it with that and just write normal stories about him.
I agree. John, thanks as always, and we'll talk next
week. My pleasure, guys. Thank you very much. Good luck to the Titans against the Bengals.
Absolutely. John McClain joins us every Wednesday at 9:30. Sports Radio 610.com.
It's like the problem's John. Hi, it's me. I'm the problem.
You had to.
That's the only song I know.
Hi,
That's silly. It's me. Because I like the beat of it. That's
I'm
it.
The problem. Yeah. That's me. Oh, good stuff from John McClain.
Great stuff.
Joining us. We'll get into some college football coming up next. Joe's favorite. Rick Stocksdale at the bottom of the next hour. It's the Chase and Big Joe Show, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.